Okay. Hi. Go ahead. You can do it. Talk. No, that's not right. Okay. Try that again. Go ahead. You can do your best impression. Go ahead.
Hi.
That was pretty good. You go.
It was a little more Alaska than it was cat, but
Yeah, it
that's
was.
just kind of what I do.
That was. You could try. Go ahead. Try another. You've heard her enough. Yeah.
Hi.
You just assaulted everyone with your voice. Is
Yeah.
that well? That I guess is what Kat does, right? Assault people with her voice.
I'm Kat. Vocal assault.
That works. Yeah.
Like, vocal assault. Really? Like, yeah.
Oh, that is her.
Now I'm just doing all the sounds that I have to edit out for you guys.
So you have to do your job still. Anyways, as you probably have guessed by now, this is a non-traditional episode of the V Spot podcast.
Is there a traditional episode of the V Spot podcast?
I think, yes, the tradition is to not be traditional. So maybe now we're traditional, so we're not tradition. Now, this would be really awkward actually if this was someone's first episode. You know how everyone has a first episode, and
Yes,
this was
everybody
their
does.
first
Oh,
episode.
hello. Hold on. There's a cat. Okay.
Anyways, so if this is your first episode, this whole thing might seem strange, but every episode is going to seem strange. You've stumbled across, or you are continuing to listen to the V Spot, a vegan podcast, most of the time, at least some of the time. Veganism is discussed because we're vegan, and that's, I don't know, that's just what we do. And as we all know, vegans talk about being vegan all the time, and that's all they talk
How
about.
do you know there's a vegan in the room?
They'll tell you.
That's right.
That's a joke. Anyways,
These are the jokes.
my co-host, Kathleen, or Kathy, or Kat, or Matt, or Susan. I decided to call her Susan the other day.
Susan.
Yeah, I don't know. Felt right. Is currently indisposed.
She is
Is.
in Gay Perry.
Yep. So, well,
Yeah, I think she still is, right?
maybe.
I don't
I don't know.
know. Well, not by the time you hear this.
Well,
Behind the curtain,
that's
break the
true.
fourth
She's
wall.
somewhere. She's somewhere not in the United States, so.
She is somewhere.
Oh, I'm Danny. I'm the other half. And
I can't get me.
oh, that see, that is a
See,
good
that was pretty
yeah.
good,
That
right?
was that actually was a good impression. I am the only one who's here, the only one who matters. Just kidding.
What does that even
I don't know. It's the thing. Anyways, so I decided to have a guest co-host with me, I guess, or I solo host and
Because
I
it's
have a
really
guest.
weird to talk into the void.
To yourself.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. And the cats and now dog cannot talk back to me in the way that anyone would be able to understand, especially on radio waves. So I have invited the silent producer to come forth.
So if you want to keep the illusion that I'm voiceless, you're going to want to skip this one. Should have been episode 42.
Ooh. Well, yeah. So
Missed opportunities.
yeah, that's okay. To not be silent anymore. Or I guess we can just pretend that he's a totally different person.
Yeah, sure, let's do that.
Anyways, we'll just pretend you're a different person.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, except the thing is, if anyone follows social media or anything like that, or I assume our listeners are pretty smart. They know that you and I were both in Disney, and therefore, if I'm talking to you about Disney and asking your opinions on that you are the silent producer. Anyways, whatever.
I don't know what
It's
you posted
all,
on the Instawhams.
yeah, it's all.
Did I? No, I didn't tweet anything while we were down there because
It's.
vacation.
Yeah. It's all an illusion, anyways, so it's fine. Anyways, we're going to
The
talk.
podcast is a lie.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Disney and stuff.
Disney.
But I do have a couple of pop culture things.
Oh, we
Well,
doing that
like,
still?
yeah, I want to keep consistent,
Okay,
like
I'll
my
sit
half.
here.
Okay, cool. Well, no, because I can, one of these is relevant to you. Veg News finally caught on to something that I know about because there's one in the mall around here that Dave & Buster's carries the Impossible Burger now.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah, see, this is what pop culture is for, folks.
Well, see, this is me going from, I wish we could go to Half Price Game Wednesdays, and then getting depressed because there's literally nothing we could eat.
Oh, God, there's barely anything vegetarians.
Yeah, there's like mozzarella sticks and that's it. And who knows if they fry them in lard. By the way, don't go to Buffalo Wild Wings. Everything is fried in beef shortening.
There's even the people that we are friends with who are omnivores found that just disgusting. Like, why?
Just.
Right. But they do. They carry the Impossible Burger now. I knew that because of the one locally.
What are they doing with it?
Well, so here's the trick.
It also has bacon on it.
No, I don't think so. It doesn't specify in the Veg News article, and I haven't like looked at the menu or anything like that. But here's the thing that bothers me is the picture that Veg News posted is like a regular burger. It's the Impossible Burger, but this is the picture. It has bun, lettuce, whatever, your normal burger fixins. From what I know, there thus far has been it's been up in the air whether or not the buns are vegan. So where I saw, as we referenced to, the reason I knew about this, I saw this posted in a particular social media outlet. And someone said Impossible Burger. And then they said that they asked the waiter, and the waiter said the bun was vegan, and then someone questioned it, and so they called the place, and after talking to, like, three other people, said that the bun was not vegan, and then there was a whole hullabaloo of, like, shaming the workers when I don't necessarily think it was... I don't think it was the waiter's fault, because if they don't know...
Never shame the
worker. No, I'm sorry. They didn't say vegan. The customer asked if it was dairy-free. That's what they asked.
Oh, well then.
And so the worker said, yes, it's dairy-free because...
Because it's probably dairy-free.
It's probably
Or it has whey in it or something dumb
right.
like that you don't consider
vegan.
Dairy.
Right, that's not dairy and it's not vegan. Anyways, there's a whole back and forth about
or
that.
Or it's made with lard.
But nonetheless, I am like fairly sure that the conclusion was that there is not a vegan bun option at Dave & Buster's. And this is not the first time I've seen this. There's another place around here.
Yes.
BurgerFi has
BurgerFi does, but it was our local Juicy Burger. It did not have a vegan bun option, so no. You had to get spelt bread or something.
No, it wasn't spelt bread. That
Smash Burger.
Smash Burger doesn't?
I don't... It's one of... It's,
they do?
It is a blank burger place that does not have an option.
Right.
And it's a chain, I think.
Well, and this is another place that I know, whatever we're talking about, this other one that I can't remember now. It's not Smash Burger.
Is the TGI Fridays bun vegan?
Yes, I think so. I'm fairly sure. Anyways, but
do you have another pop culture after this?
Yeah, oh, kind of. Just another thing.
No, we should have flipped them. I got a great segue to ride on.
You can do that, and I can just...
No. Continue.
Anyways.
Deny me my segue.
It's okay. I'm the one who rides the segues. Duh.
I ride the segues here.
Yeah, Kat doesn't ride the segues. She just, like, follows behind. Anyways.
Oh, now I have a picture in my head of you driving the Segway and Kat in, like, a little red wagon being towed behind it.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Anyway. Fan art, get on it.
Yeah. Anyways, there's several places, at least, that it's great they carry the Beyond Burger or the Impossible Burger, but then they don't have a bun. And that's really fucking obnoxious, because I gotta tell you, folks, even when I ate meat, I did not want my burger on a piece of lettuce. Because it's not even, like, good lettuce either. We're talking, like, it's a iceberg lettuce.
Yeah,
you know, it's
garbage lettuce for all intents and purposes.
Right. So it's really a pain in the dick. I get that these places may not be carrying it because it's vegan. like, they might be carrying it just as a meat alternative, and so their concern isn't to have a vegan bun.
Well, they're probably carrying it because it is popular at the moment. There's a lot of buzz around either Impossible Burger or Beyond Burger because it's kind of like a little, well,
right,
as the segment we're in, it's a little pop culture kind of phenomena.
Right, yeah.
So, but like,
it's just obnoxious because, like, I don't think I want a burger and fries. I'd like my burger on a bed of salad. No.
I mean, at that point, technically, I don't even think it's a sandwich by definition.
All right. Well, that's a deep, dark rabbit hole. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes.
But, like, nobody. Is a taco a sandwich?
Yes.
But, like, it's not.
Technically, yeah.
No.
Uh-huh.
Nobody thinks I'm going to go have a taco sandwich.
Let's go get Alton Brown.
Yeah.
I'm on his side. And he's on our side.
What side?
That nut milks are, in fact, milk, and calling it anything else, the whole argument that the dairy industry has put forth that, almond milk and everything isn't really milk, so we can't call it that. Customers are confused.
Right.
Alton Brown is on our side of the, I don't know, I feel weird calling it our side, but he's on the side of, just call it milk because that's what everyone understands it to be. In fact, there was a 1837 Supreme Court ruling that deals with it, I think. If you'd like to know more about that, go to our Twitter because I went on a rant about it.
Yay.
There you go. There's my pop culture.
Hey, that's good. Hey, that counts.
I contributed.
That counts. You always contribute to Twitter because we don't get on there. Can I? Nope. Anyways, I don't know, though. I mean, I'm glad Alton Brown is on the side of logic when it comes to nut milks being milks. But I don't know how I feel about someone thinking a taco's a sandwich.
Hmm.
It's a taco's a taco. It's its own thing, man. It's like David S. Pumpkins. It's its own thing.
And what are the nachos?
Part of it.
Yeah. All right, what's your other pop culture?
So, interestingly enough, this book that I literally just finished half an hour ago.
While you were sitting on the couch while I was doing laundry?
Mm-hmm. There's a part in it that is talking about this person who is starting a new relationship, flirtation, I guess, with this human being. It's this lady.
A new flirtation.
She's talking about how she, you know, puts on her best makeup, blah, 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 blah. This guy has begun staying for dinner more often. She found out what food he prefers. He's British, so he likes steaks and roasts, burned for whatever reason.
Ugh.
But she said, you know, her son couldn't have been more delighted when she stopped trying to persuade him to eat vegetarian meals. So she was a vegetarian. And then this guy started coming over and whatever. Now here's the whole, I'm just going to read it verbatim. I've been eating red meat for the first time since Chris and Davis died. So Chris was her brother-in-law, or no, her brother, and Davis was her husband. They died.
Wow, there's a lot of backstory going on here.
Sorry. It's important.
Okay.
She stopped eating meat after they died.
Yeah.
The reason is that they were in a car crash on their way to the butcher's. It's fine. Let it go.
Is this like...
Anyways... I'm amazed and a little disappointed in myself by how much I still love that rich, salty, juicy, bloody taste. And I've started to associate that delicious taste with being around Sean, the prospective guy. I almost feel as if we're vampires on a sexy TV series with the undead with their fangs and perfect bodies zoom across the screen to have sex. I'd stopped eating meat for personal and ethical reasons, but I can hardly expect to get credit for being ethical about animals when I'm being so unethical about humans.
Oh, look, the all or nothing argument. Cool.
Right. But I thought it was just really interesting that she kind of put forth an argument, or I guess a point that is often made, is that meat is associated with being sexy or sexual drive.
Yeah.
And this and that. It was
masculinity.
Like, sorry for the backstory, but if I named names, I needed to at least give a little snippet. It's just like she came out and said, like, I associate, like, this sexual thing with meat now, because she literally did, because she was sexually attracted to someone who really loved meat. But it's,
yeah,
like,
man, fuck that meat.
But like, it's just, that is what a lot of people do without even like saying it or thinking about it. That's what they do. They think a juicy bloody steak is something that's appealing and sexy. And
well, not that we're gonna talk about this at all because we're not. But I'm just gonna throw out there that in current news things that have happened in the world, there is a lot of talk about this hypermasculinity of, or rather, I should say, it's the, what the hell is the word I'm trying to think of? It's like your word choices and the things that you're trying to say, and the, I guess it's like the rhetoric that's being mm-hmm. used by, mm-hmm. you know, certain nominees for things and certain people defending them is hyper masculine. Like, you know, me and the boys, we lifted weights, we drank the beers, we enjoyed the beers, we liked a good steak, all of this hyper masculine stuff that's just like, look at that good red meat. Don't you want to just, you know, eat that meat?
Right.
Fuck that meat. Wait, right. What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gross. But it is this, it's that like masculine cultural stereotype that we have over here in America. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of like, hey, you want to be a dude? You got to eat that steak. And it's got to be, you know, like Gollum would want it raw and wriggling.
Mm-hmm. That's disgusting.
Yeah. That's why I said it.
Great.
Anyway. Yeah. So
just, it was just an interesting. Cool.
Was that book a romance novel?
No. What? Not really.
Sounded a little romance novel-y. Would Kat have stood for all that backstory and all that nonsense? Or should I put up a stink?
Well,
Danny!
She would have said Danielle in that tone.
Danielle!
Kind of. Yeah. She would have been fine with it. Okay. It wasn't really a romance novel. It was in the vein of Gone Girl.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like mystery kind of thing. Mm. Anyways.
Suspense.
It was pretty good.
Do you want to say what it was?
A Simple Favor.
Oh, by?
I have no idea.
Something Bell. Tracy mm-hmm. Bell? Mm. Looks like it could be Tracy from here.
Actually, I think it's Darcy.
Well, put it into the Amazon box and figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll link to it.
I just thought it was, so as I was reading through, I was like, oh,
neat.
Something to note. Yeah. Speaking of notes, did you take any mental notes on our entire Disney trip?
Oh, that was not nearly as good as the segue I had.
Well, deal with it.
Well, I mean, I'm full of information.
All right. Well, we, for those of you who, I don't know, are losers and don't follow us on Instagram or anything like that.
If you've lived under a rock for the last 5 weeks.
Andy and I
went. I'm Casey Kasem. I don't know why I went into that voice.
I don't know.
Yeah, just roll with it. Let it go.
Andy and I went to Disney World for a week, and it was phenomenal. I'm gonna let you do a lot of talking, God help me. And I'll pause for the cat.
Those nice furs. Okay.
Because I want to save some of my thoughts, obviously, for
oh, I see.
Well. Yeah,
for your other relationship,
right? For my wife.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, we got to go in logical order. You can't talk about the food till the end.
We went to Disney with two other couples, both omnivore couples. That feels important for future things.
Yes. Yes, it does.
What did we do? We stayed at the All-Star Music Resort.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think. I don't remember because we barely spent any time at it.
Rough.
Let's see, we did like the park hopper thing where you could kind of jump around to all the different places.
So we went to all the parks, including
all the things, except the water parks. So let's go. Exactly. All right, so we went to Animal Kingdom a couple of days. And, okay, so let's not even jump right into Safari. Animal Kingdom, impressions, go.
Oh, as a whole? It was my least favorite park.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. Welcome to the spot. I've put you on it.
It's like 50. It's like 50-50. I know my favorite is Magic Kingdom.
I mean, that's like not even a contest for you, though.
But Epcot's right behind that. So it's like close second. It's like very obvious which two you know, are favorite.
And then Hollywood Studios is going to be your third because you love the rides there. Specifically Tower of Terror.
Exactly.
And then it's only logical that Animal Kingdom ends up being the, you know, the stepchild at the end.
Yeah.
And not to say Animal Kingdom is bad. Don't go.
No, not at all. Do go. We didn't see the worst parts of it. So we didn't go see the gorillas and the tigers that have their own special thing because our very respectful Omna friend.
Our Disney guide.
Yeah.
Bridget.
Told us, you know, don't. It even, you know, she's like, it upsets me. Like, don't do that. Which I wouldn't go do that anyways. But she's like, make sure to not accidentally walk down there. Because it's not
Because you can take it to get from A to part B of the park. And this is the thing that kind of irks me about Animal Kingdom as a in the larger scheme of things. Forget the safari for the moment. Like, when you first walk in and you go through the gates, you've got a little kind of quasi-pendant area. And so they had, you know, the pendant area with some spoonbills and some black swans. And then whatever the native bird is of Florida that's basically a seagull, but it has a very, very long arc.
I wouldn't say
beak.
Seagull. I would say pigeon.
Oh, yeah, pigeon. That's better.
It's the pigeon of Florida.
Yeah, the pigeon. Very nice bird. Mm-hmm. I like them. They're fun. But so they were kind of hanging out. And, you know, that was fine because, so it was fine in that we learned later on that all the birds in Disney, all of them can fly away if they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Which we discovered when we walked up to the, Tree of Life, and there was a little presentation going on with some parrots, and I was trying to think of what their parrots are called as kind of a whole. Is it just parrots?
Yeah, there were specific
like parrots and some macaws. I think in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the kind of, you know, the birds you think of when you think of parrots. So they in this little presentation they did, the people came out. I think they had a little sound, like a kind of a clicker or something, and then they had food, obviously, and the parrots kind of circled in from wherever. Mm-hmm. And just kind of came and boop, hung out on the perch, mm-hmm. did their thing, were in trees, and then just, you know, they really were kind of just doing whatever the damn well felt like.
Right.
And that's when we learned that all of the, you know, all the birds, I believe it was all the birds, at least according to the, like the handlers or whatever you would call them, the trainers, mm-hmm. it's probably better. Handlers are a different thing. All the birds are free to fly away wherever. One of the parrots, I believe, spent a day over in Epcot because why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
And they're like, oh, where'd they go? Oh, Epcot. Okay.
Well, they wanted to travel the world.
Yep.
I get that.
And so, that's a thing that I think that's pretty cool that when you're walking around the park at any given moment, a macaw or a parrot might just swoop down, and we totally did see the cheeky little bastards dive bomb a family.
They did, which was, that was really funny.
Yep, we were waiting to, I think we were waiting for someone to come out of the bathroom, and there's all of a sudden you just hear the, and it's right over, like maybe 3 feet above a family's head. And you know those birds are just like, those, get them, we're going.
Yeah, let's just.
Just screwing around with them.
Yep.
That was nice. And the birds are very nice. They were, you know, kind of training them to get into spots that are a little more picture friendly and stuff. But they're kind of using, I guess, what you would call bird social engineering to get them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by like hiding treats there during the day so they think to come there. And, you know, I've heard they do things too, like warming a spot or cooling a spot based on what they want to kind of attract them there. But not saying like, they sit here and we'll tether them to this and that's mm-hmm. where they are. And I mean, they had their full claws and beaks and everything. They were just as is. And in their little presentation about the birds, they did have a very nice message about...
Don't keep these as pets. Don't have these folks as pets.
These aren't pets. These aren't mm-hmm. good pets. They live to be 100 and they are super high maintenance. They're not great for being in a house.
Right.
And they had, and they made a point of saying, you know, the part of the reason we're here, and we, they don't do any breeding.
Nope.
But the part of the reason they, aside from just being nice to have them flying around, is we want people to see these birds flying around to kind of get that impression of, we need to see more of this. You know, don't support things that don't deforest rainforest, support any breeding programs that are out there, even though we don't do it. I don't remember why they don't do it.
Why they don't breed birds?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember if they said.
To be researched, I can research and come back on my continuation.
There you go.
Dun, dun.
Well, but I was just about to flop it over to you and say, well, so the bird stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that contrast of super nice bird stuff. And even the birds that are in the front that are, seem, you know, if they are free to just go whenever they want, more super nice bird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To then going to gorillas and tigers, not so nice stuff. Even though we didn't go down there, it was from secondhand, but not so nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even the lions get nice stuff.
Right,
which I remember from forever ago.
Right, because we didn't see them, and I definitely thought they were dead.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
But so, like...
Because they didn't even mention them. Sorry, yeah. I'm still upset about that.
It's an interesting dichotomy that they will do these things that seem very pro-animal. We're all about conserving. We have a very good conservation message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to do this the best way possible without being dangerous to the animals or to you. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, you know, down the way of, well, we have Gorilla Alley and, you know, Tiger Trap Lane or whatever the fuck.
Right.
And it's just, it's very weird. Because if it's a case of, this is the only way we have to keep them, that's safe, then maybe you don't keep them because it doesn't seem that great.
Sound of my mind being blown.
Right? It hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that.
Yeah. Right.
So your thoughts? Not about the safari, but just park in general.
I felt like there was, like, a lot of contradictions. Like, they talked about conservation, which is good, but then, like, I mean, this is just me being picky because I know that I do this and I freak people out when I do it. It's like how I have a bit of a thing where I'm like, you're talking about conservation and needing to save these animals, but then you're saying, like, it does this, it does that. And I'm like, they do that.
Well, you haven't, like, you haven't adjusted your language at all to just humanize them.
It's just like a little bit of a thing for me where I'm like, I get if you don't look at my dog and say, like, I mean, sometimes I go, the dog just did this, but that's because I know that I'm doing it.
Well, that's but like the, with that's the equivalent with like the, of me saying the wife just did this.
Right. That's awkward. You have a wife?
Hmm. Well, I mean.
Not me. Not yet.
No, pretty much.
Rotating position. Anyways. It's like when I said there's someone in the house when there's a bat in the house. Like,
yeah, that was a time maybe not to adjust your language when it's the middle of the night and you're like, why is someone in the house?
Right. Okay, so an extreme example. But like, if you're talking about saving a group of people, it's not a group of things. That's the thing. It's like, you're not going to say, like, I'm saving these things. I'm saving this dog. I'm saving this bird. Why is it you take that step and you can't go one step further to stop saying it? That really bothers, because it, well, is a, like, it is a pillow, like, pillow behind me.
Well, you don't say about the people who just, yeah, what was it, Indonesia just had the tsunami. You don't say, we gotta save it.
Right.
As, like, they're called, like, referring to them.
It's weird.
It's drawing the line between, yeah, this is human, it has more value than this that is animal.
Yep.
And I mean, it's sure, it is fair to even say this is a human. It has more value than this chicken. I could even see someone not going to the extreme of saying they're one to one. But like, the difference between saying they, you know, like, you know, these birds or, you know, and they're really nice,
mm-hmm,
to it's a nice thing. It's, you know, it is an object.
Right.
And that is a big separation between something right. that has value, that has the same value as a human, or even, you know, even like the apes and stuff that I don't think they usually refer to as an it.
It's a strange thing. So that bothered me. And that, I don't know.
Oh, well, skipping around in the timeline, but the last thing, the last day we went to Rafiki's Planet Watch. And go ahead.
No, I can't go too much into depth with that. I need to know your thoughts because I have to talk about this stuff with Kat too. And that's one. I'll tell you what I think about the safari, but the Rafiki thing.
Oh, you're going to keep... Okay, so I'll tell you my thoughts about Rafiki. They had a petting zoo. I didn't go into the petting zoo. It, you know, it, and I say a petting zoo because it was a goddamn petting zoo.
What? Oh my God, what did they... I just remembered something about that too.
What, what they called the petting zoo area or whatever?
No, I was trying to remember what it was. It was like the cuddle something. They gave it like a cute name to make it was like the
pal
interaction,
the
something.
Pal place for touchers to do touching, which is
it's a whole nother thing.
Which is a whole thing at Disney.
I don't remember what it was. Well, but so anyways,
all right. So
go ahead, tell us.
The plus sides of that Rafiki's Planet Watch, they did have some nice signs and a little bit of like messaging as you're walking through the little bit of jungle kind of area to go back to where it is. These are little signs that are kind of like almost tucked into the plants and definitely to somebody walking by an afterthought.
Right.
When you get to the actual Planet Watch thing, the biggest plus thing I think in there... There's two, is they have their little vet center, so you can actually see them taking care of their animals,
mm-hmm.
which I do think is nice.
Yep.
So that's nice to see them taken care of, and they have like little like an information thing about what they're doing that day. When we were there, they were, I think, just doing a routine kind of checkup and what was it, like a teeth cleaning or something on a sheep.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They were doing a routine checkup and they were going to clean her teeth while.
And they're like, well, we got her under anyway for this. So. Yeah. So we're going to get as much in as we can so we don't have to do this multiple times, which again, nice. That's okay.
Dog's dreaming.
Yeah. Yes. We got a dog. There's now a dog on the podcast.
Yeah. You're more likely to hear the cats than you
yeah,
the
definitely
dog.
More likely. Anyway. And then I also thought the little section that they had that was kind of about ocean stuff, they had a couple of good, I mean, when I say little, I mean little bits of, you know, like displays about ocean garbage and plastics and turtles and, you know, like basically kind of shouting out like, yeah, here's how plastics are absolute trash, no pun intended, for the ocean,
mm-hmm.
which... Animal Kingdom is the only park that does not have, yeah, they're the mm-hmm. only park that doesn't have plastic straws. They have the paper straws. And I will say, paper straws work just fine.
Right.
After about an hour and a half of being in your drink, you start to lose some integrity on your paper straw. But then again, just ask for another paper straw.
Or take the straw out and don't
use
the
straw.
Right.
You have lips for this.
Right.
So that was those are the only two upsides. The big downside of Freaky's Planet Watch, I didn't see any fucking Planet Watch. Like, what the shit? I was expecting to go over there and be like, here's something, you know, like, here's a display about some deforestation of the rainforest. Here's how we can not be trash pandas.
I think there were, if I remember correctly, there was some kind of Earth Watch things that was like you went into a little room, there's like a bench and you watch a movie.
But even those, but like, as I was reading through the descriptions, those were like, here's how the rainforest functions. This is what happens to the leaves that fall down. Kind of like giving you an appreciation for how complex and interesting the rainforest is. But I don't know, that like the last one may have been like, and here's why you don't burn it down. Here's why you don't clear cut it for more cows.
I also don't like that there wasn't a huge, like, not a lot of people are going to go in there and sit and watch a movie. I wish there was way more, like...
It was too much of a...
face. like just like as nice a, like presentation yeah. kind of thing.
Like as a UX designer, it was too active
mm-hmm.
for what it to be effective, I think. It was mm-hmm. you know, it was the equivalent of having to click on a thing in order to get the result
mm-hmm.
and having that thing be hard to find. Because right. those little booths are in a corner, they're not particularly friendly looking as far as like, come on in and watch this 5-minute video.
Open up a door into a little closet.
And then they're, yeah, into a miniature closet, and there's headphones and like a screen. I'm like,
nobody's doing that.
I'm like, no, gut that out of there and put up like a little rainforest display where you walk in and it's like, here's the cool stuff about the rainforest. Here's an interactive screen you can touch and play with to see the different parts. And then here's how we're burning it to the ground because we're awful.
My question for it would be, could they do something like similar to like a crush thing?
Yeah. Well,
do like a big screen and maybe Rafiki comes up and maybe instead of having it be like, ask crush questions, like ask mm-hmm. Rafiki questions, just have like Rafiki just on the screen talking about the world.
Yeah. Or why,
something like that, that like the kids would still want to watch because could, it's Disney, but also,
you know, in little digestible 1-minute chunks.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's either like guide you through it or make it a presentation thing. And since it's Rafiki's Planet Watch, make it a thing where it's in the rainforest and you're like, oh, you got to find Rafiki in all these different places in here that is set up like a rainforest or like a savanna. Or there wasn't anything about the planet, as far as I'm concerned. It was far and few between, you know? They don't have anything. It's like, hey, grasslands are a thing. Even though they have all of these animals out on the safari that live in these different habitats, they don't talk any... They don't... There's nothing about any of the habitats.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, what it is Rafiki's Planet Watch is the answer to people being like, hey, you're just a zoo. Where's your message of conservation and all of this that you're doing in the background that you say you're all about, but we don't see any of? And then they kind of said like, all right, we'll put a building out there and we'll put Rafiki there.
Yeah.
And then you can go pet some sheep.
Right.
Okay. It's like the most half-assed answer to, you know, show us what you're doing for conservation. And now there could be things that it's like, oh, you can go do this extra little tour that really just dives into it for those who are interested, because they don't want Gen Pop to be bombarded with this because you're on vacation, you're with your kids, you're supposed to just be having a fun time.
Right.
Well, at the same thing, you put Rafiki's Planet Watch a 5-minute train ride away. So you've, like, not only have you not put a lot of effort into it, but you've stuck it in the middle of nowhere so that you can't walk up to it. So you have to make a choice to go to it, and then once you're there, there's not a whole hell of a lot for you to see or for you to do aside from just do the loop, see the vet thing, maybe take the time to go into a lockbox and watch a couple of videos. It just felt like the minimal amount of effort they could put in to have a quote-unquote conservation message around.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway on that.
Yeah.
And then on the safari in general, are you ready to just jump on over?
Yeah, definitely.
Toot toot, safari time. On the safari in general, I actually want your opinions first, because this is my second time going on it. And with two very different mindsets. One was back in 2004 when I didn't think about anything.
So the thing is, it's hard. It's really hard. The thing is, I looked at a lot of those animals and they all looked sad to me. So they're hippos. It was like 1 billion degrees. Literally, we were basically on the surface of the sun.
Oh, just for a rough idea, every day was 95. Every day
without humidity.
Every day the heat index was at least 105. I have never sweat so much in my entire life. It was disgusting.
Yeah. So everyone's gonna look lethargic and whatever too, right? And I mean, look at my dog right now. Like he's like, I guess you could say he's sleeping, but I guess you could say he looks sad because you're just looking. He's kind of like,
Bleh. Well, he's also a greyhound, so he always looks sad.
Or scared.
Yeah, one of the two.
But I know that my dog is doing exactly what he wants to be doing. When he wants to run, we take him out. He runs for 5 minutes like a maniac. And then he's like, all right, cool. I'd like to sleep for 8 days now.
No, I sleep.
So, like, I know that. And, like, I guess, like, the hippos are doing what they want to do. They're sitting in that water, you know, because they're hot and they're just chilling out. And they're hippos. They don't, like, run around.
Well, but that's like, just them living their best hippo life. I mean, in the wild, they hang out in the water for like 14 hours a day or whatever.
And then they eat people.
And then they kill people because hippos are vicious.
They're so nice.
Are they?
No, actually, they're not. Which may have been me overthinking it too much.
Or projecting onto them more
so
stuff.
So that was just like a thing. And I know that that's subjective. So, yeah, that was just that. They didn't seem like they had the amount of space that I thought they did. But I think that's because, like, we talked about the, there's, like, back, well, that's, yes and no. I don't know. I don't know the in and outs of how it worked. And I would, like, I'd love to somehow get in with, like, a Disney worker and see if they could explain it to me.
Former.
Because, lay here.
Oh, wow. A lot of purrs there.
Yeah. Because, like, we were talking about maybe there's, like, a little separate entrance and then they go out into more field space and then they come forward where there's, like, their waters or whatever that happens to be where the safari goes, the display. But, like, that bothers me. It's, like, the display area. It feels like it doesn't... If there is a back lot space for them and a front lot, then you quite literally are still keeping them in a display area that is a cage because you're having them be in an area that is where people can see them.
Well,
you're not just driving through their entire enclosure. You are looking at a very specific spot. And then also we saw on the way to Rafiki, you see behind the scenes, which is where you see them put at night, which...
So,
like, you have to, certain animals have to be put in at night, but, like, what the fuck is going to happen to a lion down there?
Yeah. Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we would have to, if we had chickens, if we raised chickens, we helped save chickens and we kept them here, they would have to go into a barn at night because there's coyotes, there's
and even though
cats, there's,
well, even though, like, our yard is fenced in, they'd probably be okay out. You feel better about them.
Right.
Being inside because you know nothing's going to happen to them.
Right, but like...
Same with some of those animals is I think they bring them inside at night.
Yeah.
Because then you know that when nobody is there, nothing bad is going to happen. You're not going to have a hyena. I think there may have been hyenas.
There weren't hyenas, they were the wild dogs.
Whatever wild dog it is, yeah. Get out of their area and... into the gazelle area and kill three of them, you know. So you bring the gazelles in or whatever. You bring the dogs in or, you know, like, sure. Or you have that area to bring them in. I also don't know what they use that area for. Do they bring them in every night?
Yeah,
that's what
they said on the planet when we were on the train to the Planet Watch. They said they brought them in every night because I looked in and I was like, oh, now this makes me uncomfortable. Because they're just big friggin' barns labeled
paddocks.
Elephants.
Well, they're like paddocks. It looks like Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Sorry, Jurassic World.
Yeah.
You know, like that is the feel that you get from that.
Right.
And I guess it's not that different than the idea of you crate your dog when you're at work for, you know, people who do that.
But my dog also wouldn't last out in the wild. And I do not think, maybe I'm wrong, and this is where, like, I don't even know if you can find out these answers. I don't know if these answers are available. Is every single one of those animals at Disney a rescued animal?
And, well, yeah, what is the sourcing of Disney's animals?
Those hippos, for instance, we can say the white rhino. We know the white rhinos, the one is done, the one subset of it.
Well, the rhinos,
the last one just died.
Yeah, the rhinos that they have are a conservation effort because they could very well just be murder killed.
Right, exactly. But the hippos
are fine.
I think they were just
gazelles.
Hippos
are fine.
So, are they specific? Like, Well, that one's Fred. We rescued Fred because he had a broken leg and now he can't go back. Is that the case?
Are they
rescuing them from another zoo? Are they getting, like,
are they on loan from a zoo that got them from wherever they got them? Now, I am going to bet that you
because like
cannot find out Disney sourcing. Because
probably not.
Because that is a thing that if I were Disney and it weren't all really on the up and up,
yeah,
I would definitely not talk about it.
Which I don't know. But, like, that's the thing that bothers me. It's like, yeah, it's the same. But, like, if I let the dog out, the dog's not, like, this greyhound here is not meant to just roam around and live and whatever. That hippo is meant to be not in here. Do you know what I'm saying? If you let that hippo out, that hippo can survive
on
their own.
That hippo is usually not in Florida.
At this point, we've domesticated animals to the point where they can't necessarily survive on our own. Sorry, PETA. We're enslaving them. But
we've only done it for 30,000 years.
Right. So that's my biggest thing with that particular, like, comparison.
Well, and, like...
And, like, I don't know, I just...
Well, but so...
It didn't look like enough space, which is crazy to me.
So here's the space thing, is I think what you're seeing is, like you said, the showroom floor kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that showroom floor is not, like, all right, we shuffle all you guys in here, shut the gates, and you're here for a while, and then we'll let you back out into the big area.
You think they can come and go?
I think they come and go as they please. And the reason they come to the front is...
Treats.
They put treats there. They put water. They put, like... They add water there. They put... Like I said, with the cooling and heating stuff. They do things to basically socially engineer the animals into the positions that they want them to be in for the tour. If they choose to do this, then great. Or if they learn that this is a good place to go,
like, for instance,
being cool or getting a snack...
For instance, supposedly, because I never looked into it myself, but we didn't see the lions and I was convinced they were dead because they didn't even mention them. And that bothers me, because why wouldn't you say, like, oh, the lions are
Yeah,
sleeping.
come back tomorrow when it's not 1,000 out, maybe. And I don't know.
Like, I don't know. That's something that, like, and I don't know. Bridget said she looked it up and there are still lions, because I was convinced that they were gone. And, like, why would they die? And with, you know, this whole thing. But, like.
Well, I like that you went to the dark place of they're all dead and not like, well, they all got released back because they were rehabilitated or they could go back to the wild or
to
a thing. So
I do go to the dark place sometimes. But, like, I don't know. Like, that was an instance, if they are still around, that they weren't where anyone could see them. So, like, maybe they chose not to be out there. Just
and
then.
That very well could be a case of, well, they're not out on the rock today because it's so hot that they are back in, like, a cabana. You know, I can't imagine, like, a barn during the day. But, you know, like a covered area that has misters that's out in the back, because that's where they prefer to be for right now. Because I could see areas where you would go from display area to back, and there were, like, paths that went
right
back there, but there was no kind of gating or segregation to any of that, and you could kind of, you know, like, you could go, they could go back. So that's my guess, and what it looked like to me is they have their areas that are along the path that are mm-hmm. definitely more of, like, display areas
mm-hmm.
for that particular ride, because it's a ride.
Yes.
And they're free to go back and forth, and they just kind of socially engineer them there. Because the other thing is, we compared to 2004, when I went,
mm-hmm.
there were significantly less animals.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So my guess is just that, because there's no way it's like, well, yeah, we went from 1,000 animals to like 10.
There weren't that many animals.
And my guess is because it was insanely hot, most of the animals are probably hiding out back in the shade or in places where they could go hide or had mm-hmm. a special cooling system in place or whatever. Because mm-hmm. there were not a lot.
No.
But when I was down there in 2004, it was February. It was 70 out. Everybody was wandering around. There was herds of, you know, like the gazelle type guys kind of doing mm-hmm. their thing.
They also took those. A thing that I did like is that if they wanted to, technically the animals could walk from one section to another, and they had those things.
So go ahead.
Those things down that prevented them
mm-hmm.
from doing that. because they don't like, I don't know the mechanics. Is it like where they would go to step on and they'd be like, oh, I don't like this and back up? Or is that something that would actually hurt them?
Oh, it would hurt them because they're electrified.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I did not catch on to that. See, well, I thought it was just something like like our dog doesn't, no, he's doing weird stuff. He doesn't particularly love the linoleum floor. So like if you, or whatever the floor is in the kitchen, mm-hmm. if you like put that around, you could technically with another dog,
you
like
could, you could keep like, him in a room.
Keep him in a room. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I didn't know that. See, I was thinking
that's
that
because
that
they
was,
don't tell you that.
Mm.
That's because you got to look at the things, and there is the transformer that they actually you can see the wires and the transformer that you can use to adjust the voltage on it. Now that wasn't the case in the past. I'm very sure back in 2004 that it just was, because it's kind of chains that are kept on springs, and the idea is that when they go to step on this or step in between them, it's really uncomfortable and weird. So it's like, I'm just not going to go over there.
Right.
And my guess is they
that's
had
what
an,
I thought
they had
it
a
was.
Couple of instances of animals just being like, fuck it, I'm going over there. And so they put a... And, you know, now we say they're electrified. This isn't... I don't think they're electrified of the state where it's like, oh, you go there and like, you know, and you're like touching an electric fence
right.
that you think of. You know, or getting shocked by an outlet or something like that. It could be a very low voltage
could,
that is just kind of like a
because,
tingle that is uncomfortable.
Well, because I know...
I don't know.
Catskill, for instance, mm-hmm. The animal sanctuary around there, one where the, quote, piglets, unquote, are, to stop them from digging under their fence and therefore being able to, like, scoop out.
Yeah.
They have a little bit... Because we had to be able to talk about that. They had to have a little bit of just an electric wire along the bottom. And it was like minimal voltage mm-hmm. where it was like a almost like you think a shock, like when you shock your finger. Like when you.
Like
ah,
a static
like
shock.
Static electricity. Yeah. Like when you're like, oh, Jesus, but you're fine. Mm-hmm. That's what they said it was like. And maybe that's what Disney's using
and,
as well. I don't know.
And it could be the same thing of, yeah, exactly that. Because there's also, what was that?
The dog sighing.
Oh, big sigh from Fiero. Because there were also in, and I do kind of like that they've done this for both parties involved. For us, there's like a row of hedges surrounding this, you know, in the front of this one thing. Well, that's not enough to necessarily prevent the, you know, the wild dog from just hopping out or going through them. So then inside the row of hedges, because there's hedges, there were hedges on both sides of it, is a fence with an electrified wire going through it. I did notice that. Again, probably a low voltage that's just obnoxious.
I just kind of wish...
But also, it's more of a learned thing then, too, that you go like, oh, well, I don't go past that hedgerow because that hedgerow is angry and I don't like it.
Right.
Instead of it just being the fence.
Right.
So it gives it a little more of like a natural learned behavior kind of thing, too.
I also wish that they were transparent about that.
They like, don't talk about it.
Like Catskill says, like, yep, we have a little bit of a thing and this is why we have it and this to explain it so that people don't feel bad about it. Cause like now I'm like, oh wow. Again, I'm assuming
you
it's
feel
Disney.
Cheated.
I do. And I assume that Disney obviously is doing a tiny little shock, but still I wish that they were transparent.
Well, who knows? It could be 10,000 volts and just
because the thing is, if they just hadn't talked about it at all, then it'd be like, we don't talk about it. But the guide went out of their way to say the things that were going over, the like that the vehicle was rolling over, the like metal
mm-hmm.
whatever chains
the
or
weird chain things
that they
yeah.
were like, this is what prevents them because it just, you know, makes them uncomfortable. So like they called attention to it but then did not completely reveal
they called
what it was.
They called attention to it and saying it makes them uncomfortable. Oh, and everybody sitting on the, you know, in the van thing or whatever the hell you'd call it is like, oh, it makes them uncomfortable because it makes an angry noise and it got to feel a little
mm-hmm.
weird and is shocking.
Right.
Just, you know, just say, we bring the animals in at night, we do this thing, here's why, here's what we... Now, granted, they do sell, like, behind the safari or extended tours for whatever, where you go out with a tour guide, maybe like 8 people in a safari truck kind of thing, and they take you off the beaten track around behind stuff. So you would see a lot more, you know, you'd get a lot more,
mm-hmm.
I guess, exposure. And those guides might say to you, Yeah, you know, like we do run electric fences with a minimal voltage, basically the same as a static shock, just to help the animals learn you don't go over here. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a place that's cool to go. Stay over here. You know, you've only got 70 acres of this part to roam around. You know, knock yourself out.
They don't want to. They want to go over there.
So,
like all animals, like this, these cats have the entire house to roam around in, and yet they want to jump right on top of the dog.
That's right. So, you know, it's... Yeah, no, that's, you know, like, though, that was, like, the little stuff that I noticed that I'm like, that's not great. The, you know, the paths, I was thinking, like, with the wild dogs keep coming up in my head because I was like, is this really all they've got?
The wild dogs seem small.
But then I did notice there was a path that went up and to the back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I could assume, I would infer there's a lot more area there. Mm-hmm. You know, the, but it's like, it's really just a case of, I got off of the safari in 2004 thinking, wow, that's really cool. They do a good job of keeping all the animals together and not, you know, like not putting them in cages and stuff like that. And then I get off of it in 2018 and I just leave kind of emotionless of, mm-hmm. well, I don't feel good about it and I don't feel terrible about it. It's, yep. You know, nothing was gained here. Nothing was lost. There is no consequence. This is...
Isn't it funny meh. How, like, you're... And I mean, at that time, you were technically more adult-like. It's not like you went when you were five.
No.
You know, you weren't an adult by any means, but you were 18?
I was aware. I was 17.
17? Yeah,
you know, so I'm aware of what's going on, but you don't think about it. No. And I'm going to guess all of the adults on our thing that got off were like, look at all the fun animals. Wow, there weren't very many out today.
Yeah.
And that's just it. And that's where the train of thought ends. You know, maybe we'll come back another day. Whatever. You know, my takeaway from the safari is, if we went back in 2020, would I go on it again? No.
Oh, God, no. I just wanted to know.
You know, did I go on it this time because I wanted to go on it, because I wanted to see the animals, because I wanted to, you know, experience that? If I'm being honest, no, not really. The only reason I went on it was for this research purpose, yep. Basically.
That's why I did it.
You know, cold, clinical, mm-hmm. How are they doing? Are they doing a good job? Mm-hmm. Can we speak on a podcast or in the community to friends who say, I'm going to Disney, should I go on the safari? Because you didn't have any firsthand experience and mine was so far removed that mm-hmm. I couldn't really tell you guys my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, if a listener wrote in to us and said, hey, I'm going to Disney next year. I heard you guys talking about the safari. Should I go on it?
No.
As a vegan, I'm going to go, no.
Yep.
Should you go to Animal Kingdom? Yeah. I think yes. You know, avoid the gorilla and the tiger thing. Don't do that. But otherwise, on the whole, I think Animal Kingdom is an interesting place with the animal side of it. And with, like, the different kind of cultural side of it. Because they do some nice stuff of, like, you know, here's some bits of, you know, more African culture. Here's some bits of some kind of Asian culture stuff. And a lot of it they pepper in scenery and theming and mm-hmm. don't necessarily tell you about. Like, what was it on the Expedition Everest on the ride in the queue and everything around it. While you're waiting online, they've got, like, the prayer flags that you actually have on Everest. That's a Buddhist thing, I believe, mm-hmm. right? You know, so it's the subtle stuff like that that is part of that culture and, like, the culture of even just climbing Everest.
Mm-hmm.
They do some of that. And, like, all that's worthwhile. The, you know, the rides that are in there are mostly worthwhile. Just don't bother.
Just avoid Pandora.
Just don't do the Avatar stuff.
Yeah. It's just stupid.
God, it's a whole lot of hype for nothing. A lot of payoff. I am sorry.
The one ride almost made me throw up.
Oh, yeah. If you have motion sickness, do not do the Flights of the Passage or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
it's,
don't do that.
Even if you don't have motion sickness.
Don't do it.
It just...
It's like a 90-minute wait.
Man, it just wasn't worth it. And
we
like
didn't
in
wait
another,
that long.
No, we didn't. We booped on in. But God, even if it's like 5 years removed and it's a thing you can get on in a half hour, right. I don't even think I'd wait a half hour.
No.
And same with the river thing. Like, I'm... These are...
That's a huge missed opportunity, the Navi River.
I think with all of the new stuff that they have done in Animal Kingdom, which I'm going to include the Safari and Rafiki's Planet Watch on that as well, because Planet Watch wasn't there in 2004,
mm-hmm.
pretty sure. And I think the Safari has 100% gone through different revamps since
I'm
I've done
sure,
it.
I'm sure, yeah.
Because they had a whole bit about poachers and stuff originally, and did we get poachers? We didn't get no poachers.
No, and that's upsetting.
But... Yeah, especially given the news surrounding when we were down there, you know? Like, the elephants had just gotten 90 of them or whatever, had just gotten poached.
Wiped out.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe it's just like, well, we're just not doing that today, or that's a behind the thing that you have to do now. Mm-hmm. But that's what the ride was when I was there originally. It was, you went through and you did your tour, and there's at one point, it's like you ran into poachers and you had to outrun them and go back to the ranger station to let them know that there's poachers out there, and they went and got them and all this kind of
shit.
So, like, you know, it was a thing. But it feels like all of the new stuff that Disney has done in Animal Kingdom is half-assed. Because you could have taken that Navi River Tour deal mm-hmm. for Avatar and given it a story more so than just like, ooh, check out all the pretty stuff.
Okay, except
look at
the
this.
One animatronic. But
that's what I'm saying is they just said, come down into this cave, you know, dick around and look at our cool effects and our cool stuff. By the way, here's this super impressive animatronic, like legitimately impressive. Okay, bye. Why was I here?
Right.
Like, why the hell did I? Now, like, I haven't seen Avatar, so I super don't give a shit. But you've seen it, and you still didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't care about them. That's the thing. It's one of those. The
maybe they just
that were hyped
maybe
to.
They just took with the theming of Avatar, and it's just like, well, this is just here, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. But like, but the like, thing about Avatar is that you could.
There's a strong. Message hiding in there that you could take the river tour and
you could make it a thing
and use it as like a vehicle for cultural appreciation, not appropriation,
not the same as cultural
appreciation.
Kids,
yes,
make sure you're doing the one, not the other.
You know, do that. Take, you know, the flights thing is just a flights thing. I don't think there's much you can do with that to make it better because it's just not great. You could have more around the Avatar area that just... it's just a missed opportunity. And the safari. Talk about poaching. Talk about
that really
what happens
me.
To these people. These people and these, you know, the animals in the wild. Just try. It just feels
well,
like they didn't
try. Because
there's
also, with the poacher thing, I didn't even think about this, there's also... If you really wanted to, like, they should have kept that, but they should have expanded in the other direction, not gotten rid of the poacher thing. Because, like, the people who, like, are protecting... Because this place is supposed to be, you know, Harambe's reserve,
mm-hmm.
R.I.P. And the people who protect these, especially in, like, Africa and all these different places that have a lot of poachers, people that are protecting these are in danger themselves.
Yeah.
Like so, like, you could really talk about the people who are trying to protect these sanctuaries and these animal reserves and things like that, and you're missing that opportunity as well.
It really is. There's just so much more that you could do to have a message in there, and to be honest, it doesn't even have to be beat you over the head.
No.
You could do some subtle stuff like you're really good at doing in Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a lot of subtle things. You could do a lot of story and just something to make it more valuable than just, yeah. Ha ha, look at the colors. Oh, there's an animal and here's the thing.
Yeah.
You could just make it more of a worthwhile experience because you think about going through Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, even, what is it? Even over in Epcot, the Nemo thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a story going on, even if it doesn't seem like there's
Tower
a lot.
Tower of Terror.
And Tower of Terror. Just do something. This is your damn business at these parks. These are why these parks are like the greatest amusement parks in the world kind of thing.
I think they just didn't work for it because Avatar is, to most people, they're like, oh, it's pretty story and stuff like
it's
that.
It's a cash grab.
It is because people want to go to the Avatar stuff because for whatever fucking reason, people are obsessed with it. And so they're like, let's build a park.
Big blue cat people. Oh, but anyways. But I mean, I kind of feel like that might be the general theme of Animal Kingdom nowadays. I think when it first opened, when it was still fairly new, because it opened in, what, 99, and I was there 5 years later. You know, I think when it was still pretty new, they had their ideas of, you know, conservation and save the planet and animals are great and all these cultures are great.
Mm-hmm.
They had that idea pretty firmly in place, and mm-hmm. it was about that, you know, there was a mm-hmm. thing. And I really feel like since then, Animal Kingdom has just kind of sold out to be just a thing, just a hollow shell of what it could have been and what it was.
Yeah.
So like, you know, park-wise, ride-wise, Animal Kingdom is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Rides are cool. Restaurants are cool. You know, shows are neat. But like, as far as what it originally was and what it could be still,
lost opportunity.
They really have just let it go and just dropped the ball on it. And they haven't done that in any of the other parks.
No.
Not a single spot in the other parks has got as little attention put to it as Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like maybe it's just like Animal Kingdom is just riding on its laurels.
It might just be
laurels.
It might just be the people don't care.
Yeah, it could just be that too. Who gives a shit?
Well, not Disney, but necessarily they found that the poacher thing didn't add.
Yeah,
the poacher thing didn't add anything. And so
they got people
who complained.
Yeah.
Who knows? Or, you know, people didn't really care that much about the conservation and stuff like that. So they still kept the minimal messaging,
yeah.
but not go above and beyond because they're like, well, people either don't like it or they don't care, so why don't we focus our efforts into
something else? I guess it's a thing, too, that's like nowadays where everybody is viewing, you know, giant corporations like Disney as an evil entity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what are you guys doing for the planet? What are you doing for us? You know, because we're showing out billions of dollars to you. What are you doing for us?
Mm-hmm.
That having a park that has that message now feels like it would be at least just good PR for you, if not something else. But hey, you know what? I'm not part of Disney's board of deciders. I don't know why they've done these things. I don't know if it's just laziness because they've been so busy expanding other things that they're
Star
just like,
Wars.
Screw the planet.
Can't wait till Star Wars. I don't think they said screw the planet.
Yeah.
It seems a bit aggressive.
But so, in general, other park-wise, just as to fill people in, Toy Story Land. Very cool.
Oh, yeah. Toy Story Land is amazing.
Super great theming. You know, fun.
You felt like a toy. It was so cool.
They really do a good job of giving you a scale of a toy and the details. And this is what drives me nuts because the details over in Toy Story Land are impeccable. It is so good.
So, yeah. Animal Kingdom. There's a lot more to talk about, though, which maybe we can expand on next week or anything like that. Because, I mean, I knew that this was going to take a deep,
There's a lot. Hole, I mean, there's two big topic areas to talk about. Does Animal Kingdom suck? Kind of.
No, it doesn't suck. That's not true.
No. Have they let Animal Kingdom go? I think so.
I can't speak to it, but yes, you could say that.
And then there's the... So it's like we've just talked about kind of the downer side where we weren't super impressed with Animal Kingdom and, you know, the safari is eh.
Mm-hmm.
And the animal treatment is, yeah, it seems okay.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem better. It doesn't seem like the high standard we thought it might have.
Right.
Well, but then we haven't talked about the plus side of holy hell.
Mm.
Did we eat?
Well, you can say one food thing. We have to talk about one food thing. So you have to say,
let's not talk about that one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
another. Even if it's a snack or something, talk about the fucking French fries. I'll tell you, those French fries that are in Animal Kingdom.
Oh yeah,
amazing.
I mean, so in Animal Kingdom, there's a shack that's over, I think, in Asia, that just has
seasoned fries. So
with like, I think it's like Berber seasoning or whatever it is that we use around the house.
I was gonna say we can make those.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, just seasoned fries.
Yeah,
Sriracha ketchup on them,
mm-hmm.
and it would come with a tzatziki salad on it as well. Walk up, can I get the fries, tzatziki salad on the side to share with omnivore friends?
Give it to your omni friend.
And just, sure, Done. No, like, no even question asked.
In Animal
asked.
Kingdom, you can also get the Dole Whip with rum.
Yep, that was also a great choice.
That was a great, great choice. All rum should have Dole Whip in it.
Or should that be the other way around?
I don't know.
Did we have any other snacks over there?
I
think we just had Dole Whip and fries.
I think just those two things.
And then we had our proper eating, but that's a whole other thing.
But snack-wise, I think that's all we got over there.
And I mean, hey, just in general, snack-wise, Mickey pretzels being friendly straight out of the box without having to do anything. Don't give me the cheese, give me some mustard. Great.
Mm-hmm. And you can find those in every park.
Yeah, they're everywhere. All the Dole Whip options were friendly. And even if it was a place that didn't have it advertised, just straight up get your orange Dole Whip or whatever. You just walk up. Can I just get orange? Yeah. Yep. Can I get it in a float? Duh.
Yeah.
Done.
Snack-wise, who doesn't love snacks, though, right?
All the good snacking. You know, it was a...
It's worth seeking out because I wanted the... I knew the pineapple Dole with rum existed, but I didn't, like, put two and two together because Bridget said just show up, so I really didn't do much research other than vegan Disney, so I did not know that it was Magic Kingdom as a dry park.
I do think that's changing.
Oh, is it? Maybe. But I did not know that you couldn't get the rum there, so it would be worth going to Animal Kingdom, too, and making sure to stop at the one stand that does the pineapple Dole with rum. And good beer, too.
Yeah, good beer. And then go to Epcot and go to the cool refresh station where you can try sodas from around the world and make sure you have Beverly.
Don't do that. Actually do it. It was the best thing ever.
There you go. Right. So I think that's where we got to leave it because I got to work.
Yeah, and I got to not.
You got to pet the cats.
Yeah. Life is hard.
Sure is.
Anyways, so we'll continue this though when Kathy, Matt, Kat, Susan gets back. We'll talk more.
Yeah, food episode.
I'm thinking about those fries now.
If you guys don't love hearing people talk about food,
skip the next 100 that we do.
Oh my god, because she's gonna have all her food to talk about.
Exactly.
Too. Well, shit. Next dozen episodes are just gonna be a food fest.
But if you do like food, like listening to people talk about food / looking at people's food because you're like, man, I wish I could have that. You should go follow us on Instagram, the V-Spot Podcast, because we're basically a food Instagram now. But that's the best way to advocate is through delicious food. And I like eating, and so does Kat, and so does Andy. We love it. So that's Instagram, and for all your other social media outlets, you can go to thevspot.fm and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You can send us an email. You can do all of the things to get in contact with us. Send us questions for when we do our live show at Hudson Valley Veg Fest. Send us things to talk about. Send us hello emails. Any of those. That'd be great. And when you're bored with that, you can go to soundbite.fm and listen to other really cool podcasts, other travel podcasts, all the good stuff.
Travel podcast, Nintendo podcast, kind of sort of programming podcasts.
Travelcast, yeah.
Coffee chess cast.
Oh, I think of a snappier name for that. Well, I mean, yeah.
Snap your descriptor, I guess, because that is not the name.
Anyways, go do those things. Am I clicking by myself?
You're just going to click by yourself.
Wow. This is...
I'm just going to watch you click by yourself.
That's really sad.
I don't have one.
Cat.
Yeah, well.